Our Father in heaven, I pray that we would see Jesus today in his love and compassion for sinners, and that each of us would arise and go to Jesus and feel his embrace today and his love for us. I pray that we would see Jesus in the Word as it is read and proclaimed, and I pray that the Holy Spirit be at work in each one of our hearts so that we may hear what you want us to hear and see what you want us to see. Thank you that your word will accomplish your purpose. And we trust you today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And Lord willing, we will be looking at this chapter for the next several months. We're going to go very slowly, verse by verse, piece by piece. This is similar to how I did Isaiah 40, I believe, about 4 years ago. But this is chapter is so rich is that we're just going to sit down and we're going to feast on Isaiah chapter 55. And our text today is only a few words at the beginning of the chapter, but I'm going to read the entire chapter for us this morning. So Isaiah 55. Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who you do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Maybe this is always the case for humans who are sinners living in a sinful world, but recently I've sensed a certain level of unrest and distraction in my life, and I think in your lives as well. Maybe it is straight up suffering and pain that you are going through, and you would wish that it would go away. Perhaps you are distracted and busy in your life, and you feel like you can't focus on that which is most important. And that's how our family has felt recently. Most of our time we feel is filled with cooking organic meals from scratch and trying to get healthy. We wonder if we can actually be useful for Christ when we're so distracted. Maybe you have a general lack of peace in your life and you wonder what the problem is. There is unrest in our nation and you feel that same unrest in your life. Maybe you have a longing to be rid of this world and your body and go to heaven to see Christ because it's been enough decades and you want to see Jesus. Let's look a little bit deeper at maybe some problems that are plaguing us. We're not the people that Christ wants us to be yet. We are still sinners, and we are being sanctified. Maybe there is a sin that you will not give up. Perhaps there is a habit that is keeping you from being the person God wants you to be. Perhaps the words of Hebrews 5:13 apply to you. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, again, the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. I see in my life and in yours more of what is in the culture than what Christ would want us to do. We have a love of self and a love of pleasure. Maybe I've nailed one of the problems you feel like is plaguing you, or maybe I'm completely off base and you think you are just fine. Whatever the problem, whatever the situation, there is one solution, and that is to seek God. These are the words of Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And so, in the next several months, I want to invite you to seek the Lord as we study Isaiah 55 together. Isaiah 55 is an invitation to each one of you to seek the Lord. This is not a call to try harder and do more of the same things. It is a call to repent and to find salvation, refreshment, and peace that only God can give. Today in our text, God invites everyone who is thirsty to drink of the water he freely gives. God invites everyone who is thirsty to drink of the water he freely gives. And I want to ask three questions to guide us through our very short text. Our text is, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. So, question number one. What is water? Now you're saying, when you're asking questions like, what is water? You know that you have a very, very short text you're preaching on, because you would probably ask different questions than like, what is water? No, seriously, I was thinking about this for half the week. What is water? Water in the Bible and water in Isaiah doesn't just mean one thing. Water can be negative. This is not in your notes yet, but maybe you're familiar with Isaiah 43. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. That's bad, like floods. Or sometimes Isaiah, water is used to describe the ocean, which is chaos and confusion and a power that you cannot stop. But water is often a positive picture in Isaiah. And what are we going to do? We're going to talk about a few ways water is used in Isaiah to help us come to grips with Isaiah 55 in its context in the book of Isaiah, okay? So there's a few things that water is in the book of Isaiah. Number one, water is restoration. Water is restoration. Isaiah 35 says this, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes." Part of what Isaiah is doing in his book is promising restoration to God's people. See, in Isaiah, God's people were walking away from him, and God was very kind and compassionate to them. He was asking them to come back to him, and he sent prophets and warned them, but they continued to wander away. And eventually, God took the Israelites from their land, and he sent them to Babylon, far away, where they were in exile. Isaiah chapters 40 to 66 are written for God's people as they faced exile. And God promises restoration. He uses pictures that they were familiar with, like a desert. A lot of the Middle East is desert. And God promised water in the desert to bring streams and flowers and green. to a people living in exile, they felt like their lives were parched, like dry sand. But in the midst of parched sand, God offers refreshing water. The people were to look back to the time when God provided water for Israel, when God rescued them out of Egypt and led them through the wilderness, and God provided water for them. Isaiah promises God's people a second exodus and his provision for them. Now, I don't think this idea of restoration is how primarily water in Isaiah 55:1 is being used, but I think it's helpful to show what Isaiah is doing. He's using this picture of refreshment and restoration to show that this is what God is doing for his people. Now, I think this can be helpful for us. So how can we, as Christians today, apply Isaiah 55 to ourselves as a whole? Well, Isaiah was written for a people in exile, and we are a people living in exile. We are waiting to be rescued from this foreign land and go to heaven where we are citizens. We wait for the restoration of the world and the restoration of our bodies. We want to be refreshed and restored. And that's what Isaiah is offering ultimately, a new heavens and a new earth. That's Isaiah 66. So water is restoration. Water is also salvation. Water is salvation. Isaiah 12:3 says, "Therefore with joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation." And this fits better with the context of Isaiah 55. So many of you are familiar with Isaiah 53, where God talks about his servant who will suffer for the sins of his people. And Isaiah 53 talks about this suffering servant who will take the punishment that we deserve. And we know today that that suffering servant is Jesus Christ. And because the suffering servant suffers for his people, in chapter 54, God says, "I will restore Israel and bring them back to myself." And it's interesting, a picture that God uses in Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. He tells the Israelites that they will enlarge their tent. Perhaps you've heard the term in politics, big tent. That a certain politician has a big tent. That means he wants to draw people from a wide variety of backgrounds. And that's how kind of Isaiah is using this idea of expanding or enlarging your tent. God is saying, I'm not going to just work with the Jewish people. I'm going to enlarge your tent so people from all nations can come and be saved. And that's what Isaiah does in chapter 55. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. So through what the suffering servant has done, not only will Israel be restored, but salvation will go out to all nations. So when water is given to the thirsty, there is salvation that is being offered to all nations, to everyone who thirsts. Thirdly, water is the word. Now, did you notice verse 2? Verse 2 of Isaiah 55 says, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good." So in verse 1, we are invited to drink water if we're thirsty, and then we're invited to a feast, wine and milk, abundance. How do you quench your thirst, and how do you fill your belly with this feast? Listen. Listen. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. That's not normally how we satisfy our hunger, by listening, but God is offering something to us through his word. The only way we're going to get it is by listening. In verse 6, when God invites us to seek him, one of the things he invites us to is a trust of his word that will always do what he promises. So when God invites thirsty people to drink of water, he is offering something that you cannot find anywhere else. He is offering what he has been offering throughout the book of Isaiah: salvation through trusting his word, which will bring restoration and refreshment. salvation through his word, which will bring restoration and refreshment. But lastly, water, in the most basic sense, is a need met. Water is a need met. In the rest of verses 1 and 2, God invites us to a feast. But water is not a feast. Like, I invite you to my barbecue and I give you just water. Like, no, that's not going to cut it. Water is about meeting our needs. Now, in our soggy corner of the United States, we think about water much differently than people in Isaiah's time. We take water for granted. We turn on our faucet and we get water from the city or water from our well. When we are traveling, we can stop at any store and easily grab a bottle of water. But in the land of Israel and much of the Middle East, water is a very precious resource. Care was taken to collect the rain that did fall, and springs of water were guarded and carefully used. If you did not have water, you would die. Even today, you can schedule a tour in Jerusalem to go down a tunnel that they would use to get water during a siege. So people would go to great lengths to carve out rock to preserve water for themselves. Think about it. When's the last time you've been really thirsty? Like, you could say, I am dying of thirst. I can't think of a time. I mean, I get thirsty, but there's always water around. We think about a people who live in the desert and where water is scarce. If you're really, really thirsty, it's kind of all that you can think about. Life is on hold until you can get a drink of water. So water is the most basic need that God is meeting for us here. So the second question then is, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? There is one qualification to coming and receiving this water that God offers, and that is that you have to be thirsty. Now, this may be our biggest problem in seeking God. We have too much food, too much drink, too much money, and too much comfort that we are not thirsty for God. Don't take it from me. Listen to what Jesus says. Revelation chapter 3. Jesus says this to the Laodicean church. He says, because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Even in this verse, Jesus is offering a feast for people who would let him in. When we see ourselves often like this. We are sipping a lemonade on a lawn chair under the maple tree in our backyard, and things are great. In fact, each one of us spiritually are clawing our way through dry sand in search of water. The hymn we sang before the message, one of the verses says this, all the fitness that he requires is to feel your need of him. So the question is today, are you thirsty for what God is offering? Secondly, consider that you may be distracted from your need. You may be distracted from your need. Jesus tells this story in Luke chapter 14. He says, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded. Still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Think about the distractions that are keeping these people from the feast that God is preparing. Oxen, property, basic things that were of part of their day-to-day lives. And those basic things in our day-to-day lives can distract us from our need and the banquet and the water that God offers us. As we get into our comfortable cars and drive to church to sit in our comfortable pews and return to our comfortable houses, we feel like we don't need anything. We are distracted and entertained and lured away from Jesus by the pleasures of this world. We are like the people spoken about in Jeremiah 2. For my people have committed 2 evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, maybe you acknowledge that you have a need, but perhaps the needs that you have are not the needs that God is waiting to meet. We want money, we want health, we want comfort, we want solutions to the problems in our lives, but God is offering us something else. He's offering us water, salvation from our sin, a relationship with Him, and the promise of a new heavens and a new earth. The outcome is that we are thirsty for the wrong things, and we are quite unsatisfied. And we miss the fountains of water that God is offering to us in His Word. Oh, that we would be spiritually hungry people, thirsting for God's intervention in our lives and in our world. Jesus promises this to spiritually thirsty people. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The last question I want to ask about our text is, will you come? There is water available for the thirsty. There is salvation and restoration and a relationship with God. But the remaining question is this, will you come to the water? That's the invitation. So this is an invitation to something you do not have. What is an invitation? What is an invitation? Notice the first word in our text, if you have, I believe, the King James or the New King James, says ho, which is not normally something that we use today. We say hey. So it's all a saying. Hey there, come to the waters, getting our attention. God is flagging us down and saying, look over here. I have water for your needs. Normally, I find invitations exciting. Do you? Do you find invitations exciting? Come to the wedding. Come to the party. Come to the barbecue. Yeah, these are good things that I like to go to. When God invites you to come to the waters, this is not a jury summons. This is not an invitation to take your final exams. This is a feast that we're being invited to. This is an invitation to something bigger than yourself. An invitation to do what you cannot do for yourself. An invitation to meet needs that you cannot meet yourself. It's all there for the taking. All you need to do is come. Jesus offers you water for your thirst. In John chapter 4, Jesus runs into a woman who came out in the middle of the day to draw water from the community well. The lady and Jesus get into discussion, And Jesus offers her something unimaginable. Now think about, this lady didn't have a kitchen sink to get water. She had to go out every day and get water. And Jesus offers her water that she can drink that will never make her thirst ever again. But it's not physical water. Jesus says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. So what is he offering her? He's offering her life forever with him. Not just fewer trips to the well. The water that God offers in Isaiah 55 is the same water that Jesus offers you today. Everlasting life, restoration, a new heavens and a new earth. Dear friends, whether you know it or not, you are dying of thirst, clawing your way through the sand and parched desert. And Jesus stands ready to meet your thirst. All you need to do is come to him. Will you do that? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, do confess that we are very needy people and we do not fully know the extent of our need, our thirst, and our hunger. And Lord, we confess that we often thirst and hunger for the wrong things and ask you to meet needs that we don't really need met. Father, I pray that you would help us to have the right thirst. And I pray that you would give us enough insight to come to the waters. I pray that you would restore us spiritually as we look at Isaiah 55. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.